Welcome to the World Series Game 5 live post-game show. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined tonight by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, everybody. It's Andy.
And Kurt.
So if you're just finding our podcast, we've been doing this for 8 years on the Cubs, 8 seasons, and we're doing these post-game shows during the playoffs, and these are a little more loose. We just kind of sit down and share our thoughts on the game. I think tonight's will be a little bit more, hopeful, optimistic, cheerful than our last episode. And so we're going to talk about Game 5, look ahead, you know, talk about what we think is ahead for the Cubs here in the next one, possibly, hopefully, two games. And again, if you're watching live, we have live viewers right now. And so if you're watching live, we want to hear your thoughts on this game. You can call 309-517-0624. And that number is active all the time. It goes straight to voicemail. So if you're listening to this podcast and you want to share your thoughts on the Cubs, or if you're watching a game and you want to share some of your thoughts on what you're seeing, then call that number, 309-517-0624. So the Cubs survived. The series is going back to Cleveland, and I'm kind of curious what your guys' general thoughts on this game are.
Well, first of all, let me say I'm glad that Wilbur gets to kind of air out and get stretched out again, used to flapping in the breeze, because starting to feel like a cloistered, you know, like nun or something. But yeah, it's, you know, he has a day to be out there in the breeze, and
he's got a couple of days.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah, new listeners are probably thinking, who's Wilbur and why is Andy talking about something that's been I think that could have been taken another way, I guess, Andy, is what I'm saying. But Wilbur is what we call our W flags.
Yeah. But little buddy, on the other hand. No.
Right. So my Wilbur, it's being retired at the end of this year. So I was really sad that it looked like there was a possibility Wilbur would maybe never fly again, because he is has been ripped to shreds out here in the rural country. We get a lot of wind, so he's been ripped up pretty good. But yep, it's gonna feel good to fly him one more time. But you know, guys, I never thought
fly him three more times.
Right? Yeah. Sorry. I know I'm not taking it down. This is it. It's up for the rest of. It's up for good now. I never expected that my favorite team being in the World Series would be this exhausting.
Right?
I just...
Yeah.
I mean...
It's been stressful. It's been draining. It's been fun. You know, don't get us wrong, but boy, it's exhausting.
Yeah, this has been a very tough series. I kind of felt like, you know, with the offensive explosions that we saw in the NLDS and the NLCS, it just kind of like we were able to ride those waves, you know. And this has been a battle. Besides Game 2, but even then, Game 2, like that game was still within reach for the Indians. It wasn't a total blowout. So, on one hand, I kind of wished that tonight's game could have been a little bit of a blowout just for peace of mind. On the other hand, I think that it was really good that the Cubs had to like scratch and claw their way to victory. And I think that was really a huge thing for the Cubs. And I think that obviously it can impact them from here on out, because Chapman pitched a lot of pitches, but it felt like we hadn't really, well, we hadn't won, we being the Cubs, sorry. The Cubs had not won a game like this in this series, and I think they needed to do that, and so it felt good to do it.
Yeah, it was good for them to demonstrate that they have the will to fight through and live another day, you know, despite the adversity that happened in this game. And it wasn't an easy game. They had their struggles at the plate. Yeah, it would have been easier on the fans had they broken out the big bats, you know, but I think that might be what we have to look forward to finish out this series, is them hitting enough, doing enough on offense, and then the pitching coming through and shutting down the Indians.
Yeah, and it was definitely nerve-wracking to see a Joe move that
I questioned in the moment, which we haven't had many of those. And when he went to Chapman early, pulled Lester. Well, first the Montero for Ross pinch hit. I was baffled trying to figure out what's he doing. What's the play here? You know, then Chapman comes in and gets, what did he get? Eight outs. And it worked. But at the moment I was like, what are you doing, Joe? And so it feels good to have Joe look good in that moment, but I was definitely sweating it.
Yeah, I think
when it happened.
Once it seemed like Chapman was going to be able to come back for the ninth, then I was a little bit more comfortable with it. But in the seventh inning, with one out in the seventh inning, and he brings in Chapman, I'm thinking ahead and I'm like, oh man, please no Rondon. Like, he cannot go to Rondon. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, so who is he going to go to? Strope? Montgomery?
Like, well, see, that's what I'm pretty worried about. That I mean, just that it seems like Maddon is having to really kind of search for the guys he can really trust to come in and be lockdown pitchers.
Yeah,
because Edwards has done a pretty good job, but still, like, it doesn't feel like lights out. Like, nobody feels really lights out.
Well, and I mean, I guess facing a lefty, I mean, I'm fairly confident in Montgomery, not Wood. So that's right. Kind of your only option.
I'm kind of surprised by how little we've seen Strope.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like, I mean, he's used Montgomery a lot in these playoffs. I mean, it's just like, I wish I had like exactly usage, you know, pitcher usage in front of me. I don't have the postseason stats in front of me, but it just seems like there are guys right now that they need to be on the playoff roster. But I don't think Maddon is completely comfortable with going to them in tight situations. I think Rondon is one of those. I haven't been comfortable with Travis Wood in quite a while. Here's the thing is, I think, you know, really from this point on, the Cubs need to get, they have one more game where they could potentially need to get quite a bit from their bullpen. Because in game seven, it's all hands on deck. And I think you could see Lackey, you could see Lester, you could see, I don't know. I don't think Arrieta.
Backup catcher gets the win.
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, Arrieta would maybe, who knows? I mean, it's the last game of the season. So just everybody. So I honestly think that they potentially won't use the bullpen that much in a game seven. So really, it's just kind of like, if they can get Arrieta to, you know, maybe go deeper into the game, they may not need to use the bullpen as much, which I think would be a good thing, which I thought that was the case tonight. Like, I just felt like Lester's cruising. I'd like to see, you know, I really wanted to see Lester get seven, maybe, you know, get him into the eighth inning, a third of the way through the eighth or something. But
man, Lester looked great early on in that home run ball he gave up. He still hit a spot. It was low, and you know, it was, I don't think it was even in the zone. It was below the zone, and he just got to it and homered off of him. But I thought he looked pretty good overall. I thought he looked pretty sharp, especially early on, just really hitting his spots.
Yeah, it was definitely a typical Lester game where he looked really good. Of course, he's going to give up a solo shot here and there. So yeah, nothing to complain about there.
Yeah. Just kind of a little interruption here. If obviously game six and seven, the tickets are probably going to be pretty expensive because it's been a drought for the Indians too. But hey, if you're a Cubs fan and you can get to Cleveland, I think you'd probably be willing to pay about anything to see the Cubs in these games out there. And so the first place I would suggest going for tickets is SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to. None of the older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website to make it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I've used SeatGeek this year a couple times, and it's been great. I've I had plans to use it other times. I'd set price alerts, and those are very handy to use. So that's what you can do with these. I know a lot of the secondary ticket sites are not doing the six game window thing that they typically do for Major League Baseball games. So you can set your price alerts and If you are in Cleveland, you can probably snag some tickets at a pretty good price. So I would definitely check out SeatGeek. That's the first place I would go. They do all the price comparison for you and search multiple ticket sites to ensure that you get the best deal possible. And they do all the work and save you time and money, and they want to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You will immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to get the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's what you do to get it. You download the SeatGeek app, tap on the settings tab, and tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code Ivy, I-V-Y, all capital letters, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Ivy today. One thing that kind of concerned me about this game, and this kind of goes along with the offensive struggles for the series, is the fact that they scored all of their runs in one inning, in the fourth inning. And basically, other than that inning, there wasn't much in the way of offense. They're leaving
a ton of guys on base.
Yeah, that's right. They threatened a number of times.
Right, right.
So they could have easily had, you know, 2, 3, 4 more runs. But it was great to see Bryant finally break through and hit a ball really hard.
Oh yeah, for sure. Prior to that, I think his batting average on the series, I think he had one hit on the series. He looked better throughout tonight's game. Even outside of that home run, it looked like he was seeing the ball better. He was getting some better swings. So that was great.
Yeah, and
to see.
Strikeout was questionable call.
It looked like
he saw that ball well, thought it was a ball, and didn't swing and still got rung up. So it definitely wasn't a bad at bat.
Yeah, it was a breaking ball above the zone, right? That just kind of didn't drop in. Yeah, that was unfortunate. But yeah, there were a lot of really great, fun moments in tonight's game. I mean, the couple catches that were pretty incredible. People have already brought those up in the chat. Hawkins in the chat says, "How about Rizzo's catch off of Ross's bobble?"
Yeah,
you know, I mean, just got to kind of catch some breaks like that.
And Hayward hanging off the wall,
right? That was insane, man.
And he looked good tonight. I mean, he had some good defensive plays, of course, that one, and then got a hit and stole two bases, right? Did they count both of those as stolen bases?
Yeah, he did strike out three times.
He did, but he did something.
He got a hit.
That single that he hit really hard.
Well, he crushed one too, foul.
So, I don't know. He's shown some signs, maybe. I mean, the strikeouts certainly aren't good, but anyway, I thought he was a bright spot, you know, in a way tonight, as well as, you know, those couple big catches. I want to say the Javier Baez tag.
Yeah.
On the steal was pretty awesome. But I suppose as far as negatives go, we should talk about Javi at the plate.
Yeah, well, Javi hate is definitely back. There was all sorts of stuff on Twitter, and I kind of got engaged, and I got sucked into those arguments, and a lot of people calling for him to be benched. And one person on Twitter actually verified that they would prefer Darwin Barney over Javier Baez. So
what?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure what you're gaining there, but
right?
You know, I mean,
a gold glove.
Darwin's Bill Wright. Darwin's better defensively.
Well, you're gaining a great piano player, is what you're gaining. He can just tickle those ivories with the best of them.
Yeah, that's a little frustrating. And I, of course, I've had my frustrations with him. I mean, he has not looked good at the plate. He struck out. But you cannot take his glove off the field. You just don't, for any reason in the World Series, take his glove off the field.
Right.
And especially given that offensively, he's just one swing away from everyone forgetting about that. And he pops one into left, and we're all loving him again. So, I've had my frustrations. He looked bad. He looks really bad at balls out of the zone.
He does.
High fastballs and low breaking balls. He looks terrible. But these things are going to happen, and
right, and
hopefully they don't happen in huge situations.
Right. I think in my defense of him, because you know I'm going to defend him, I am not denying the fact that he looks terrible at the plate. He absolutely does. He looks awful. And I think, though, that like it's just too easy for fans to go to, you have a bad approach, or, you have, and sometimes it is a bad approach. I'm not saying that it's not, but it's easy for fans to say, like, oh, he's just going up there and, like, you know, swinging at everything. Well, obviously, there's a reason for that. And chances are he's not seeing the ball well, or he's, I mean, there is something that's causing him to think, okay, this is going to be in the zone. Oh, shoot, it's nowhere near the zone. That's not just going up and deciding I'm going to swing at everything, because I think he took a lot of close pitches tonight that looked like Javi when he's got a good approach at the plate. And so I think he is having trouble seeing something. I don't think it's like he's going up there trying to be the hero. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that there are probably times, and there are probably pitchers, specific pitchers, where a player just has a hard time identifying things and seeing the ball and seeing the spin and things like that. And so, but what I loved in this game was it obviously he knows that he's having a hard time. So what did he do? He went up there and bunted for a base hit to load the bases. And I thought that was like great to see. And it's great to see like someone who's struggling, who maybe that's what it takes, is just something like that to him to be able to get a little bit more comfort in the batter's box or something. I don't know, but I just think it's kind of like unfair for fans to say like, oh, he just goes up and swings at everything, because like, have you ever been in the batter's box and had like to face either, I don't know, it could be a 97 mile an hour fastball, or it could be an 82 mile an hour slider, and you have to figure it out and not swing at the bad one? I mean, it's just I just don't like. It rubs me the wrong way when I hear fans saying, and it kind of goes across the board of like, players are lazy or they're this. And it's like, we don't know what it is to play the game. And so I guess that's my defense of him.
I think it's unfair to judge any player based on a 7-game series or however far this series goes. But you know, small sample sizes is real, but it's magnified in the World Series, and we can't judge them on that. But at the same time, it means more now. So, you know, we do more judging now than we ever have. And, let's be fair. We've loved this team for the whole year, and let's not crap on them now when they have a couple of bad at-bats. Again, it's okay to be a little upset when Javi strikes out on a breaking ball in the dirt,
but it
doesn't mean he's a terrible player. But I
guarantee you, it's frustrating for us. It's more frustrating for him. I just think, you know, especially I think people kind of come out of the woodwork, and I think a lot of the like, oh, bench Javi, he needs to be benched. You know, I think like that those are the same people that were like just going nuts over
his bones.
Him.
Yeah.
Right. Going nuts over him 2 weeks ago. So
warm to his form, like in the NLDS and the NLCS, super warm to his form. And then now they, he used to be hot snot on a silver platter, and now he's just a cold booger on a paper plate.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, man. I couldn't have said it any better myself. Speaking of hot snot, man, did you see that farmer blow out there on the mound from Lester? That was beautiful.
That was amazing. He did both nostrils right there on national TV.
Tawny was like, why did he do that? I said, well, he doesn't have a handkerchief out there.
I swear, like smoke came off of it from the cold air. It's amazing. That's part of the whole game.
Oh, man. Okay, how do we bring this thing back?
At this point, you know, it's hard for me to break down individual performances. You know, it's win or go home. They won.
Right.
It was a W. I don't have a whole lot of interest in breaking down stats and who did well and whatnot. I mean, you've got two more games to win, and you win. I don't care who did what, as long as you get the W. And let's do that two more times. And so it just feels weird that at this point, it is not the time to say to pick apart individual players. So,
well, right.
I want to say I was surprised to see Steve Clevenger out there tonight. I thought, didn't he get Didn't he get suspended?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of he got a little weird Twitter action or something. Didn't he have some controversial stuff?
Yeah. You know, Kurt, though, like you said, you know, now's not the time to really pick players apart. It's just all about the wins. And I think, like, for those that wanted Javier Baez benched, what message does that send to the team? I mean, Joe Madden is not reactionary at all. And I think it's that stability that has given players comfort. And I think, like, calling for any starter right now to be benched, I think is kind of ridiculous. And honestly, like, it would not bother me if Madden had left Hayward in to start every game this season or every game this postseason because of his glove and just, you know, you didn't bench him during the season. It seems kind of weird to do it during the postseason. I think it made sense with the matchups and you knew he was going to get into the game and everything. But like going from the NLCS co-MVP to then benching somebody, like that does not make sense. That's not going to that is not good for the clubhouse. It's not good for the dugout. It's just not good for your team, you know, to because then all of a sudden it's like then all of a sudden they do feel pressure. It's like, oh man, he's taking like drastic steps. I need to start pressing instead of just going out there and sticking with the process that got you there.
Yeah, and the reality is in any particular game, somebody's probably going to go 0-for-4.
Right.
Right.
It's usually going to be Hayward.
Somebody's going to have that game. And if it's Javi, at least you've got him tagging a guy out at second. You know, the Indians exactly. are running like crazy. And if that tag, I think that can be underappreciated. What he did there, coming in front of the runner, mm-hmm. catching the ball, and then shortening the throw and making the tag, that was incredible what he did there.
Right. Zobrist does not do that.
He gets an out and potentially saves a run. Yep. So, I don't know. He frustrates me at the plate. I mean, I texted you guys a couple of times. Right. But at the same time, I'm all in on you just don't take that glove off the field.
Yeah. What?
Oh. I want to say, like, you mentioned Zobrist. I mean, dude quietly puts together, like, when, so say, for example, when Bryant gets his homer, Rizzo doubles, Zobrist puts together tough at bats.
Right.
And in the cleanup position. Like, he really gives the Indians pitchers an at bat that is, like, he is going to lay off. When they make their pitches,
right?
You know, and they intentionally walked Rizzo to get to him tonight. And I just think that having him where he is in the lineup flies under the radar as being pretty important.
Yeah,
yeah. He's the one guy who when it gets to two strikes, I don't worry as much. You know, like he's not afraid to go really deep into counts. Like he gets to full counts so much, and always a productive at bat.
Yeah, so he's hitting .368 for this series, which again, obviously, small sample size, but he's hitting better than everyone else on the team. And you know, really, it kind of felt towards the end of the season, and if I remember right, even in the NLDS, that he was kind of running out of gas. It felt like I could be wrong about the DS. I can't remember how he did, but I remember like in September, it kind of felt like I don't know, and maybe I'm way off, but.
Well, I've noticed he's not churning the butter as fiercely.
Yeah, yeah, I did pick up on that.
Yeah, it's a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I don't know if there's anything to that. Maybe it's a signifier that he is a little calmer. I don't know.
Well, it also kind of, it's funny that like every other guy, and this is completely off the top of my head, but like he'll stand in there when a pitcher is just waiting. And waiting and waiting, he will stand in and not call time. Well, the other guys would call time
right
so much sooner. And I'm like watching TV, yelling, call time, this is going on way too long. You can't take the pitch after this long. And he just stands in there,
mm-hmm.
slightly churning the butter.
You know where you know what that comes from, Kurt? Kurt, I know exactly where that patience comes from. Listening to his wife's music. He's used
he'll
to
listen
just
to, he'll listen to a whole song without flipping out.
Boy, she really looked like a Twilight extra up in the stands tonight. Anyway,
no offense, Juliana.
How
if you
about
listen.
The seventh inning stretch tonight, you guys? Yeah. Eddie Vedder did a great job, and I kept waiting for him to bring the Tasmanian devil into it or something, but he just kept it on track, you know, with focusing on Harry. And I thought it was cool that he gave a shout out to Dave Ross.
Well, okay,
it always makes me nervous when they go into speech mode.
Yeah,
right. I think it's pretty. He did all right. He did all right.
I think it's pretty clear that the Cubs have asked them to do that because every guy that's been up there. And speaking of which, it's just been guys. How about a female celebrity Cubs fan up there? They've all done Bonnie, that.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Get Bonnie in the booth.
I mean, they've all done that where they've kind of talked a few minutes before or for a little bit before they started singing. Not all of them went to Daffy Duck in that little monologue, but you know, here's my thing. My only criticism, I thought that it was great. I thought it, and I'll tell you, I think the best part of it was him harmonizing with Harry Carey. I thought that was awesome.
That's cool.
I know I'm going to probably catch grief for this. I didn't like that he brought up David Ross.
At IVNV on Twitter.
I didn't care for the fact I didn't care for the fact that he brought up David Ross, but that's just me. I love David Ross. I think he's awesome, but like I think in a way, like, I don't know. I'm gonna say things that are gonna make
people
mad. He's
already catching grief in the chat.
No, I do not hate David Ross.
I know where you're going, and I can see your point. Don't necessarily. It didn't bother me, but I can see your.
Yeah,
point
it wasn't
without
like
you having to say it.
It wasn't a big sticking point for me, but I guess like in my opinion, if David Ross had spent his entire career with the Cubs, then that kind of makes sense to me. But like 2 years, and I mean, he means a lot to this club. I totally get it. I totally understand, and I understand that fans love him, and I think he's awesome. But like that just seemed a little bit kind of weird to me.
I'll agree with you.
I'm not looking at the chat. I'm not looking.
In that moment, it is not the time to call attention to individuals.
Yes, that too. That too. Say that again, Kurt. Come on, back me up here.
I could get on board with that, I guess.
But it didn't, again, in the moment, it didn't really bother me.
It was harmless. I mean, I want to read through some of the chat.
No, we have to move on, Kurt. Andy
in the chat says, Corey, why do you hate the elderly?
Oh, gosh.
I think that's a good point.
He's 6 months older than me. I love David Ross. I think he's awesome. I think you communicated it better than I did, Kurt. I didn't really understand why a single player was being called out, and it seemed a little weird to me.
But on the whole, Vedder did a great
job. Yeah, I thought it was great.
I think we should have played a little Pearl Jam tonight, like maybe Alive
and then get our podcast pulled off of iTunes because we
played copyright. I don't know if Eddie's gonna come after us for playing a live.
It's not him, it's his whoever owns the song. Here's something to get me out of the doghouse, hopefully, from everyone here. Let's see, where did I write it down?
Battle.
Okay, so here's something. So I tweeted,
get you out of the worm shack, the cat garage.
Man, there's developments with the cat garage. I'm not gonna. I won't waste our time.
People better hope this goes to Game 7, just so we don't start talking about the cat garage for the rest of the off season.
We might do an off season episode totally dedicated to the cat garage and the worm shack
from the cat garage.
In my broadcast live from the cat garage.
Hey, you know what happened in that cat garage? That's where the three of us together kind of fell in love with Chuck Mangione while we were out there brewing beer.
We better talk about baseball.
Yeah, let me bring this back to baseball. So when the score was 1-0, I tweeted that it seemed like a lot of the Indians' runs in this series have come with two outs. And Mark, who is at Markov Walker on Twitter, tweeted back to me and said, that 12 of the 17 Indians runs this season have come with two outs. And three of the five that came with less than two outs were the three-run homer last night. So really, this and it, I really picked up on that. I was like, man, it seems like every time they get something going, or not just get something going, but they're able to like capitalize on a mistake or just drive a run in, it's always with two outs. Like the Cubs, it just feels like they're always so close to getting out of an inning. So
I think it's what makes watching them play the Indians so frustrating. You know, you came into the series, at least I did, not really knowing much about the Indians, and then seeing them play the way they do. Like, this is a really good but frustrating team to watch.
Yeah. And Matt in the chat brings up a good point. He says their luck's going to run out. And it really, like, that's a kind that is not necessarily sustainable, you know, like
isn't, but it is sustainable for a series.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. Let's hope it's not for the final two games of the series.
Yeah. I'd love to see Francisco Lindor go stone cold.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say a lot of positive things about the Indians, but that kid is so good.
He's going to have a great long career, you know, and just go ahead and go cold for a couple games here.
Right. I really enjoy watching him play, though.
Yeah. If this were not the World Series and this were just, you know, regular season, me checking out an AL game, like, he's great. Yep. But I'm tired of it right now.
Yeah. Yep. So let's see. Do we want to look ahead to game six? I mean, was there anything else you guys wanted to say about this game, game five?
I don't think so.
Oh, one more thing that is like totally stupid and not related to anything. How about those freaking Indian bullpen guys standing in the way of Hayward in the first
garbage,
inning?
That was garbage, dude.
Like, that was like BS.
I almost wondered, like, it was so early in the game. Like, did they just were not paying attention, or was that?
Oh, I think they fully intended. I mean, the one guy kind of like looked away. I think they knew exactly what they were doing. Do you see the little exchange on Twitter between the Indians and Cubs over that?
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah. The Cubs tweeted something about, please get out of our way or something like that. And then the Indians tweeted something about having your bullpen not on the playing field or something like that. But I just...
Yeah, we're working on it, you turds.
Right, yeah. I really thought, like... I mean, not only was that, I thought, kind of like poor sportsmanship, I thought it was flat-out dangerous.
Yeah, right.
And...
Yeah, on a different level than poor sportsmanship.
Yeah, and like part of me was, as he was running over there, I was thinking, like, if Hayward couldn't get to that ball, I'd like to see him, like, just lower his shoulder and take one of those idiots out,
right?
You know,
right? Just linebacker,
yeah,
laying out a wide receiver trying to go catch a pass across the middle.
Says the guy that's against like hitting players on purpose.
I don't know. It was garbage, man. Because I think he may have made the catch on that ball had he had a clear path to it.
Yeah,
and how many times have we seen the Cubs bullpen just totally clear out?
Right.
You know, when a ball's hit over there.
Right.
I mean, it's just kind of courtesy, professionalism.
Yeah.
You know that game where you're not allowed to move?
That's true. We have seen them not clear out on a screen.
Yeah, but I think they would for a player. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, no. If there's a fly ball, they're moving.
Yeah.
Fly ball in the World Series, you're not playing that game.
Right. But. Yeah. That I don't know. It just seemed like poor sportsmanship to me. And that actually, like, I was really pissed after that. Like, you know, if Hayward would have gotten injured from running into somebody or sliding into somebody. And I think if you look at their reactions, if you watch that back, I think they knew exactly what they were doing. So I hope one of those guys, I don't know if the like bullpen in Cleveland is covered, but if not, I hope one of them gets like donked on the head with a home run.
Probably doesn't matter because they only have what, three bullpen guys that they use.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. Freaking jackballs.
And one last thing before we pull the curtain on this game. How about Andre Dawson in the Holocaust cloak in the stands? Like he was singing Carmina Burana or something. I instantly thought of, a lot of people said like a Sith Lord. Corey, you don't know what that is. Let me explain. It's a
synth, Star a synth Wars Lord, or, like somebody that's really good at playing the synth. He's such a synth Lord.
He's really good at playing the synth. Users of the dark side of the force. But I instantly thought of the Phelps face from the Olympics.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, he looked fierce, I guess. I don't know how to put it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, in the chat, I'm kind of glancing at the chat. I did really enjoy that when Chapman was batting. Donnie mentions this when Chapman was batting, and all the Cubs players had their gloves on in the bullpen or in the dugout. No, I
didn't see that. What was that?
Because like at first they showed Almora with his, and I thought like I thought he was like trying to show like technique or something like that, and then it occurred to me they were like, no, Chapman's gonna be late on a fastball and he's gonna rip it into the dugout. And then,
Miggy was wearing his catcher's mitt. which is awesome. They still haven't given up on fun.
Right And that's necessary. Not necessary to give up on it, but you know what I mean. So I guess in looking ahead to game six, it's Tomlin versus Arrieta. And I don't know if you guys planned on talking about this game very much, but I really like that matchup a lot. I know that Tomlin looked he was pretty effective the last time out. He went 4 2/3 innings, gave up just 2 hits, 1 run, 1 strikeout, 1 walk. Which that tells me, and from what I remember that game, is the Cubs had a lot of contact, and the BABIP gods were just not have their finger on the team that night, because for just you know, one strikeout, 1 walk, that tells you there's a lot of balls that just didn't fall. And they pulled him out early, if I remember right. And I don't know. I don't remember if they went right to Andrew Miller at that point. But I don't know. He seemed like a guy that the Cubs really should have taken advantage of. And he seemed like a guy that if he would have stayed in a little bit longer, the Cubs would have taken advantage of him. So I'm kind of hoping that like this opportunity to face him again a second time, and if the Cubs can just jump on him early.
That's a good point. He looks like a guy that the Cubs would be able to hit 2 out of 3 times. Right. And we saw the third time, you know, in that his first appearance. So mm-hmm. I have faith. You know, I think, I have a lot of hope for this game. I think it's a good matchup for the Cubs.
Well, and that was, what was that game? 3?
Right.
That
I think it was 3. Yeah.
That was the game I was so mad if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah, because Tomlin's not, like you're saying, like Tomlin's not the guy that's supposed to beat you like that. And that's the game they really expanded the zone. They swung it. They gave him a gift by swinging a lot of pitches out of the zone. And I don't expect him to do that twice facing this guy. So, Tomlin's a guy I think they need to get to early.
Mm-hmm.
And lay off the breaking ball. They weren't able to do the first time. So,
well, and I don't.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in this game that, you know, Arrieta's going to be really good, and that they're going to be able to get to Tomlin.
Yeah, I think so, because I think that I don't have anything in front of me, but I don't remember many of the Cubs batters having very many at bats against Tomlin before that game, and so now I think they've each had a couple of at bats. There's tape that they can now review and look over, and I just think they'll be much more prepared for to face him. And I mean, Andrew Miller didn't pitch tonight though, so that means we're probably going to see a lot of him in the next 2 games. But I think just make him pay in the first inning. You know, make him pay.
I think it's crucial that they get to him early. Got to score some runs in the first and second inning, and you've got to pile on at every opportunity. So, because you know, Miller is looming as soon as they A, get a lead, or B, get down by enough where they feel like they have to stop the bleeding.
Yeah. And then another thing to consider too is all of these Cleveland starters are going on short rest. So the Cubs just faced him in game 3, and Arrieta is going on normal rest. And if you'll remember, he took a no-hitter into the 6th inning before things kind of, I wouldn't say they fell apart, but Joe went in and took him out. So he pitched 5 2/3 innings, gave up 2 hits, 1 run, three walks, and 6 strikeouts. And I think really like a game 6, a must-win game, against a pitcher that hopefully the Cubs should be able to get to. You know, this is where Arrieta needs to be, Jake. And this is where he needs to put the team on his back, and the Cubs need him to pitch well. And we've already kind of expressed a little bit of concern over the bullpen. You know, it's quite possible Chapman, I don't know. I mean, I think they'll use him, but with as many pitches as he threw tonight compared to how many he normally throws.
Somebody else will have to step up probably.
Yeah, but that's where, like, Jake, just go, you know, and Jake – and you can do that with a DH. You know, Schwarber's going to be in there. So that's another advantage for the Cubs in this series. But I think you're not going to need to pull Jake if, you know, his spot's coming up and you got a runner in scoring position, even though he's a good batter. I just think, like, this is where Jake really needs to just put the team on his back and you know, just get to his Pilates place in his mind. And
well, yeah, and his last start, you said he took the no hitter into the sixth, but it was not, even though he was had that no hitter, it was not vintage Jake. It wasn't that, like, the movement and his stuff was so good that he was able to keep it alive, but he didn't have it quite like we've seen before. And if he can just get, you know, 90% of the way there, oh man, they're sitting pretty.
Right. And his pitch count, if I remember right, his pitch count went pretty high. I mean, even though he pitched only pitched 5 2/3. I mean, you walk a lot of counts. Right. You walk 3 and strike out 6, and there's a lot of pitches in there. And if I remember right, there was a fair number of, like, full count foul balls and stuff like that. So,
but at least in a game 6, I mean, you're willing to let him go 100.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Pitches if you need to.
Yeah.
I don't know what the number is, but you just let him go if he's looking good.
Yeah, and so,
you know, and we go ahead.
I was just going to say that while it's important for the Cubs to jump on Tomlin early, I think it's important for Jake to have some efficient innings in the first and second inning, and not be sitting at 45 pitches after 2 innings. You know, just get in there maybe 12 pitches an inning or something like that. Just keep it fairly efficient, and you know, you have a great defense behind you. And I don't have a problem with him trying to induce some ground balls and really just let the defense do their job.
Yeah. And let me say, too, that Andrew Miller hasn't looked impervious to the Cubs either. They've made him sweat. They've gotten some traffic on the bases against him. You have the Fowler homer in yesterday's game. It's not like he's been totally untouchable.
And they've seen him a lot. I mean, they're familiar. They're getting more familiar with him. So
that's not super comforting, but it is a slight positive.
Right. Yeah. Obviously.
I hope it's a lead go, and they have to use him when they're behind.
Right. Or I hope that they have.
It's just force game 7. That's all we need. And there's something about being behind that's sort of like, well, you just win the next game.
Right.
Versus when you're ahead, it's like, oh, we need to close this out.
And
we have a few games to do it versus you just have to win.
And don't forget that while we have the, oh, here we go again, we have all of that, guess what? Indians fans do too. They haven't seen a World Series championship in a long time. And you get in, like, you're going to see the Indians fans covering their faces. You're going to see sad Native American dude, you know, in costume. You're going to see that kind of stuff. And I think, like, if the Cubs can jump on the Indians early, if they can jump on Tomlin early and Jake can look really good at the beginning, I think that you can kind of take the wind out of their sails. And I think tonight probably did a good job. They didn't want to go back and play game 6 in Cleveland. You know, I mean, as much as I'm sure in a way you want to win in front of your home crowd, you want to lock that thing up because this Cubs team is not one that you want to toy with. And so you would think there's got to be at least a sliver of panic for them right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have much else to say about this game. I mean, I mentally prepared myself earlier. I'm like, okay, so how are we going to handle this thing if they lose? And what does that mean? And, you know, just like trying to come to terms with all that stuff. But I was real confident about this game. I thought that they could do it. Actually, it was closer than I thought it would be. And I'm just as confident about Tuesday's game. I think it's, you know, and I'm also confident about Wednesday's game. too. I mean, if you want to look that far out, I think that Kluber's pitching again, third time on short rest, and Kyle it just seems like Kyle kind of has like the makeup to be a game seven starter, doesn't it? I mean, he just doesn't. He's not rattled. So
it's kind of the polar opposite of Lackey.
right. Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen how that Lackey's worked out.
Yeah.
In this series.
So
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
It's so cliche, but one game at a time is
right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's almost comforting.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm really glad we get a game six. I'm glad it's things going back to Cleveland. And I'm really looking forward to it. So I did want to thank everybody that came down to the game watch that we did for game four. That was a lot of fun. I think we had a bigger crowd on Saturday night than we did the previous Saturday night. Didn't you think, Andy?
Yeah, it was a little bit bigger, and it wasn't as fun because of the outcome of the game, but we still managed to have fun in spite of the disappointment of the game. And it's, I don't know, it helps to have your friends with you to kind of soften the blow, you know, and help you get through the hard times. And then it also makes the fun times that much more fun. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm definitely glad I was there because, you know, if I sat at home and sulked, it would not have been pretty. But being there with everybody and, you know, there's something about having kids around that is just, it just makes you smile and you just can't get too angry. And, you know, I had my moments, but I had a lot of fun and I was able to work through my bad times. And at the end, I left laughing. And that, what more can you ask for? Because, you know, we're all Cubs fans. And if you can suffer and celebrate with other people, it's so much better than being angry at home.
Yeah.
So there's my ploy for, or there's my plug for anytime we do this in the future, come, because it's so much more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we haven't like really discussed it, but if this thing gets to game seven, you know, we may do another event for, you know, what could be, the World Series clincher, because, you know, I don't want to really be with anybody, but, you guys and people that listen to our podcast and friends that we've watched the Cubs with over the years. So we're not going to make any concrete plans right now. And I know that it's going to be a weeknight, so it's probably going to be tough for everybody. But, you know, we'll, at least the option will be there, hopefully, for everyone. So stay tuned. We are going to do a game seven at the lake, Andy says. I don't think my living room can hold that crowd. Oh, what was I going to say? We will do a post-game show on Tuesday night, though, after the game. And so we'll discuss that, and then we'll share if we have any concrete plans for Game 7. We'll share the details then. So anything else you guys want to say before we head out here?
Nope, other than that Lionel drank too much of that Mountain Dew flavored e-juice. So...
Poor Lonnie.
Spilled one on the PT Cruiser carpet.
And yeah.
He may have been the difference maker in tonight's game, but...
I really wanted to see them put him out there and then him, like, you know, have
little,
to make it...
chunks in right field?
No, like, have to, like, you know, actually call time to come off the field because he was going to squirt his pants. That's a...
squirt his pants! Squirt his pants!
That's what I wanted to see. How great would that be to see Lionel like kind of waddling off the field, trying to hold it together?
Oh man.
All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up.
Squirt his pants.
So stick around after the music and Katie's song, and you'll be able to hear the voicemail that were sent in, you know, thoughts on game five and looking ahead to game six. And, yeah, we will be back Tuesday night to talk about game six. And, I hope that we're as, able to laugh about things, after that game, like we are tonight. I think we will. So don't be, you know, don't be frustrated. Stay level headed throughout the game. I think that, a lot of fans, throughout, at least from what I was seeing on Twitter, people were freaking out, threatening to turn the game off after the Cubs went down 1-0. And, you know, just keep your cool. This is a great team, and it's the same team that we've followed all year. So just have that same confidence that you had in August. Have the same confidence you had in April. You know, just this is that team. So don't get down, and I think they're gonna pull through for us. So, all right. Well, thanks for listening to this episode, and we will be back on Tuesday evening to talk about Game 6. And until then, go Cubs. We got
Hey, first of all, Corey, you need to get off Baez's jock. When Hayward is a more competent hitter right now than Baez, that's not a good thing. One other quick point. I didn't like Schwarber pinch hitting in the eighth inning. I'd like to see him save him for the ninth when maybe he could have had a big bat there. That being said, love the podcast. Keep it up, guys, and go Cubs.
Hey guys, I Stuart from St. Louis, currently in I don't remember where I'm at. I'm gonna be flying all tomorrow. I'm in Dayton, Ohio. I gotta be flying like all tomorrow evening, so I don't know if I'll get to watch the game. So this might be the last Cubs game I see of the year, which is really sad. And I'm not sure the Cubs can win 3 more games if their offense can't do anything at all, like they've kind of been for 3 of the 4 games they've played this series. Like, I don't want to be just that downer Cubs fan, but it just seems really bad. Like, it seems like the Indians have figured out how to pitch to this Cubs team, like, as a whole team. And the results have not been good at all. So, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm probably going to have to do lots of games tomorrow, game tomorrow. So, you know, when the other thing that keeps bugging me, the more I think about it, is like, it was awesome making the World Series, and if they don't win it, you're going to fall short, ultimately. And they'll still be a young team, but nothing's guaranteed. Like, this could be the only world, like, as good of a team as this could be, we can look at this in 10 or 15 years and say, man, how could they only make one World Series? It just really sucked. And I know that's a lot to put on and look ahead, but I just, the disappointment is creeping up for as good as this team has been all season. So, I hope the Cubs win. I hope I can call in and say, man, I was a real jackpot. But, go Cubs.
Hey, boys, and the rest of the fans listening. That's Nick in Wisconsin. I just finished watching it. Game 4 was a rough go. And I don't have any doubt they'll win tomorrow in Game 5. But in a way, I wish these games were being played in Cleveland because it just seemed like kind of a toxic, poisonous environment. And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that the people that are attending these games are not ones that have been cheering them on. I think if you were to ask any of them, a random sampling, how many games the Cubs won this season, they'd turn to their publicist and ask them to Google it for them, you know. But anyways, like I said, I have full confidence in them being able to win in Game 5. But, boy, it was just rough. I think it was a combination of a young team. I was really confident they'd be able to knock Kluber around early, and the run in the first inning, I thought they were on the way, and then, man, he just shut them down. Like I said, young team. You know, I think, you know, toxic environment from some of the fans, but, you know, Lackey is not the most rah-rah guy there, so I have a feeling that a couple errors in the early going, he was probably a little pissy in addition, but banking on veteran leadership from their ace tomorrow, I think they're going to do it, take it back to Cleveland. We'll see what happens, but I really think they could they can knock them out, get three in a row, and, you know, anyways, go Cubs.
Hey, it's Dan from Davenport. Well, that couldn't have worked out better tonight, I'll tell you what. And it's setting up just right for heading back to Cleveland. You know they're not wanting to use Kluber three times in 9 days, but they're going to have to if we can get there in Game 7. Game 6 was perfect. Keep the faith, Cubs fans. We're going all the way. Go Cubs.
Hey, guys. This is Arles from Aruba. Just want to call in after the Game 5 win. Man, that was really stressful, guys. How about Chapman? He got 3 innings. Man, that was so stressful. I can't, you know, can't even believe. But we got the win, so that's good. It was great seeing the guys, you know, hit the home run and also, you know, get some timely hits. That looks really nice going forward. And we get Schwarber back in the lineup in Game 6 and hopefully Game 7. And obviously we have Arrieta going and also Hendricks. So I'm feeling good about the series going forward. You know, I never, you know, stopped believing in this team. You know, it was really crappy the last 2 games, but we're still alive, guys. We're going back to Cleveland, and I mean, go Cubs.
Hey, guys. Jeremiah in Dallas. My head's still spinning. 42 pitch save for Chappie. Joe has been batting for himself, pulls Ross. Montero strikes out on 3 pitches, I think maybe 4. And then Wilson's in there, pass ball. I'm scratching my head for most of the game, and none of it matters because there's only 4 words that matter. In Joe, we trust. Go to Cleveland, get it done, guys.
Hey guys, this is David out of Las Cruces, New Mexico. I love your podcast. Thank you for all the good coverage. Well, my wife and I almost had a heart attack a couple times tonight, but we're pretty confident about 6 and 7. I don't know. I think Arrieta's probably going to have another really good performance, and Hendricks has been really, really lights out. So we'll be rooting together. Go Cubs.
Hey, man. I was just thinking, this is Sam and Raleigh, by the way, after a game 4 loss that the Cubs were kind of down, but all year the Cubs will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger, those who attempt to poison and destroy their brothers. And you will know my name is Lonnie when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Go Cubbies.
Hey, this is Joe from St. Louis. Traveled up to Chicago just to feel a part of this. Was very down after last night's Game 4 loss. There was minimal offense, just felt completely down, and maybe it was maybe over, but man, after tonight's win, it's like 2 more, boys, 2 more. That's all you gotta do is 2 more, and we can fly the W. Go Cubs.